I want to finish up a message that I had started a few weeks ago about, it's really a great follow-up to this morning. This morning we talked about how important it is to have a church home, a church family. I wonder how many of you guys have been at Crossroads for, this has been your church home for over 20 years. Raise your hand if you've been here over 20 years. Now wait just a second. 25 years or more? Wow, that's awesome. If you've been at the church here for over 15 years, raise your hand. Over 15. All right, that's awesome. All of you who have been at the church, you've been a member here or you've been coming here over 15 years, stand to your feet if you've been coming over 15 years. Come on, everybody, stand up. If you've been here over 15 years, stand to your feet. And, hey guys, I think we ought to give them a hand, don't you? That is awesome. Look at all those people. It's great. Thank you. You know, it takes some stick-to-itiveness, doesn't it, to do that? We talked this morning about the importance of having a church family and having a church home, and it's very important. But I will say this to you. It's not just a matter of having a church. I will say this. I think, don't y'all agree with me, it needs to be the right kind of church. Just being a part of a church is okay, but you need to be a part of the right kind of church. And that's very important. And I think the primary focus of any church should be preaching the gospel, teaching the Bible, equipping people, all these things. And we really try to do that here, is to preach and be faithful, to rightly divide the word of truth, teach it, equip people, turn them loose, let them minister. We want you to use the gifts God's given you. And that's important, but you want the right kind of church. Now, you know, you look in the Bible, and Paul wrote to a lot of churches. Some of them, the letter wasn't too friendly, was it? I mean, when I say friendly, you know what I mean. Some of the letters that Paul wrote, he had to really kind of just correct problems, and he had to bring some very hard things to say to them. Then there were other churches that he commended. He said, "Man, you're doing a great job," and he kind of commended them and just tried to further root and ground them in the truth that they've been taught. And you know, you hear people today talk a lot about, with this particular church, you know, is a great example or that, and a lot of times it seems like churches that are, you know, Bible based churches, they'll run back to the Church of Pentecost in Acts 2 and try to say, "Boy, what a great example. This is our you know, model right here." And of course they don't do half the stuff in that chapter that church did. And it's not, you get to studying and you realize it's not a good model at all for what God's doing today. It was a transitional time period, as we know, Acts chapter 2 was. And the stuff that's there in Acts chapter 2, it doesn't occur that way today, because it's a bridge. It was a transition going on there. Now, you flip over here to Acts 11, and you come to the church at Antioch. Church at Antioch is a great example for any church. The church at Antioch was God-centered. If you look down with me here, it says in verse 19, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, says they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." We see that this is a great church right here, because they were God-centered. We see they were exalting Jesus Christ. We see they were a Bible-based church. They were preaching the word. We see not only that, but they're a church that was very committed to prayer. We read over when they ordained Paul and Barnabas, how they prayed and fasted and sent them out. But there's a few more things I want to point out before we end this and move on to something else. And that is, I want to show you tonight how that this church was very unique in that they sought to evangelize Jews and Gentiles. Now, that was very, very what's the word here? That was very unique. That was very pioneering ground right there that they were doing, because up to this point, the gospel for the most part had just gone to the Jews, and it had stayed confined there among the Jewish people, and with the raising up of Paul and all the events that happened here right before this, these people come to Antioch and they realize, hey, you know what? Jesus Christ died on the cross for everyone. We can preach the gospel to the Gentiles too. And so they seek to evangelize Jews and Gentiles. Now, Gentiles at that time would be very pagan. They would be idolatrous. They would be steeped in all kinds of religious filth, immorality. Very, very pagan. But you know what? This church was a friend of sinners. And you know, I think that is something that needs to be our identity in Daytona. We need to be God. We need to exalt God. We need to be God-centered. God needs to be our focus. We need to please Him. We need to exalt Jesus Christ and lift up His finished work. We need to be Bible-based in everything that we do. We need to be committed to prayer. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. As a church, we need to be known in this community as, hey, that's a church that's a friend of sinners. A friend of sinners. We don't have our nose in the air. You know, we're not going around with our nose in the air thinking we're better than everybody else, looking down our nose at people, you know, acting like we're God's gift to the earth. You know, no, you know what? We've got a heart for people. These people at Antioch, man, they just wanted to reach people. And it didn't matter if they had a religious background, like a Jewish person who believed in God, believed in the Bible, or if it was some pagan person over here that was steeped in idolatry, that was a Gentile. It made no difference to this church at Antioch. Man, they just wanted to reach people. They were a friend to sinners. And that reminds me of somebody else, Jesus Christ, our Savior. I want you to take your Bible and go to Matthew 9 and keep your bookmarker here. We're going to go right back to Acts 11, but go back to Matthew 9. Matthew 9. Let's read about Jesus Christ and His attitude. Matthew 9, look at verse 9. It says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom." He was a tax collector. "And he saith unto him," Jesus said unto him, "follow me." And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house. So he goes to Matthew's house. Now, were tax collectors well respected back then? No, they were like pigs. Okay, that, honestly, they were like just pigs. They were filth. Jesus goes, sits down in the guy's house. Now look at verse 10. It says, "Behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him," with Jesus and his disciples. "And when the Pharisees saw it," the religious crowd, "they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he saith unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous." He said, "I've come to call sinners to repentance." Jesus sat down in a house with a tax collector and with a bunch of publicans, other tax collectors, and sinners. Would that make you uncomfortable to do that? Jesus had a heart for people. In fact, if you look over at Matthew 11, look at Matthew 11. You know what happens after you get saved for a while? Let's just be honest. After you're saved for a while, when you get saved, they say that the average person when he gets saved has about 12 people that he's fairly close to that doesn't know Christ. And that number diminishes the longer you're saved. And let's face it, let's be honest. You know, those of us who know the Lord, we like being around other Christians, don't we? Now, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And that's normal. We talked about that this morning, a church family, it's your family, you know, and it's your church home, and that's normal. But I wonder if sometimes we get so engrossed in being around other Christians that we almost become very aloof from those who do not know Christ. And we really don't want anything to do with them. Christ wasn't that way. The church at Antioch wasn't that way. In Matthew 11, look at verse 19. It says, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, 'Behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber.'" And then notice what they called Jesus. They said, "He's a friend of publicans and sinners." A friend of publicans and sinners. Boy, he was too. Go over to Matthew 15. Look at Matthew 15. And look at the crowd Jesus hung out with here. Matthew 15:29. It says, "And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel." You know, you read that, and you know what really hits me about that? What love our Savior Jesus Christ had for people. He just loved people. They're maimed, doesn't matter. You know, they're paralyzed, they're maimed, they're blind. We've got our deaf section here, and they were deaf. Hey, you know what, man? He just loved everybody. He loved everybody. Let me ask you something. If we have the heart of our Savior, don't you think we ought to have a church that loves people? You know, where they're at? Love them where they're at? You know, hey, did you notice Jesus loved people where they were, but then he loved them too much to leave them there? He loved people right where they were, but then he loved them too much to leave them there. And you know, we got to love people where they're at. That doesn't mean we condone their sin. That doesn't mean that we act like, "Oh, well, it's okay, you're fine." No, we tell them the truth, but we love them. We don't treat them, you know, like, rah, you know. No, we love them where they're at and then tell them the truth. And Jesus Christ just loved people. He told them the truth, but man, he loved them. Go over to Luke real quick. Run over to Luke chapter 10. Go to the right a couple books. And let's go over to Luke chapter 10. And look at this story. This is a great story that I don't think we read enough. Luke 10, and I'll begin reading in verse 30. I want you to draw a visual as we read this. Draw a visual in your mind of this, okay? Luke 10:30. "And Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by the other side.'" And I mean, he saw the guy, but he passed away the other way. Verse 32. "And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him," looked right at him, "and then passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was." I like that saying. He came where he was. "And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" Which one was neighbor, church? What was it? Was it the Levite? Was it the priest? Or was it the Samaritan? Huh? Yeah. The Samaritan was neighbor to him. He loved him. Now you read that, and it's very easy to think, well, that low-life priest, that nasty Levite. And it's very easy to be hard on these guys. But let me ask you a question, and be real honest with me. Do you think we ever pass by lonely, hurting people? I think we do. We don't want to be bothered. I'm in a hurry. I got to go in the grocery store. I got to get my stuff. I got to get home. We do it on Sunday morning, probably. You know, guests that come to our church are here many times because they're lonely. More than they're wanting a real good message, they want a friend. They want somebody to care about them. They're lonely. They're hurting. They're confused. They don't, you know, and maybe they don't even know much about church. And they're not just coming here to hear a good rousing message from the pulpit. Now, we hope God, the Word of God speaks to their heart and grips them. But it's like I said a few weeks ago, if they come on the church parking lot and they come into the church and they go by 10 or 20 people and nobody says a word to them, everybody's like the priest and the Levite, and I got to get to class. Well, I got to get to choir. Well, I got to get to this and I got to get to that. And everybody walks right by them. You know what? By the time the message comes, they're not really in the mood to hear it, are they? Because they're thinking, this is an unfriendly church. I came here thinking I might be able to find a friendly face and somebody I could talk to, somebody who cares, maybe find a friend. But man, I can't find it here. I'd be glad when this is over and he shuts up and I can get out of here. You know? Now, you hope that doesn't happen, but I'm just being honest with you. I'm just being really frank with you that's, you know, we get so tunnel vision, and I'm guilty. We get tunnel vision, and we got to get to our class, got to get to my life group, got to get to my ministry, got to get to lunch, you know, got to beat the crowd to the restaurant and all this business. And we're like the priest and the Levite. We walk right by lonely, hurting people. And we don't even realize it. I've told you this before, and I haven't said it in a long time. Before you come to church on Sunday, you really ought to pray before you come. And you ought to say, you know, Lord, I really want you to speak to me today, but you know, this really just isn't all about me. Lord, help me to be a blessing to somebody else today. And we go to the church with the attitude of not, how can I be blessed, but how can I be a blessing to somebody else? We don't go to the church with the attitude, well, I wonder who's not going to shake my hand today. They're just going to walk right by me. No, we go to the church with the attitude, man, I sure hope I don't miss anybody. I sure hope, Lord, help me to be sensitive to those around me that are hurting or that are new, that are visitors, that are guests. And anybody in here remember the first time you ever decided to come to church? And the first time you ever walked on the property? It can be intimidating, can't it? And you know, we forget that, don't we? Because we get churchified. You know what I mean? We start getting real good at churchianity, you know. And man, we get real good at churchianity, and we forget what it was like to come on the property for the first time and not know where to go and not know when to stand, when to sit, you know. And we forget what that's like to come and not and just be searching and be looking and be unsure. And you know, some of you, I just bless your hearts. I just am so blessed by your friendliness, your kindness. Some of you meet people at church and then you bring them to the hospitality room. And I'm like, oh, did you bring them to church? No, we just met. And I sat by them in church. They were in life group and I had them come over and sit with me in church. And I just wanted you to meet them, Pastor. And they're going to go out to lunch with us today. And I'm like, wow, man, that is the body of Christ in action right there. That's people that just really want to have the heart of Christ and want to reach out. You know, instead of, man, I got to race to the restaurant and meet my life group. It's like, well, man, who can I get that doesn't have anywhere to go, anybody to be with? Man, let me see if I can get them to come with me today. You know, that's the heart when we go to church is I want to be like Jesus and I want to be a friend to sinners. And you know, going to church isn't just about me and getting my cup full. Man, I want to help someone else get their cup full. And that's what it's all about, guys. That's what it's all about. And that church at Antioch, their identity was they preached the word to the Jews. They preached the word to the Gentiles. They were reaching out to whoever they possibly could. It didn't make any difference. And I want to remind you, that we do not, as a church, exist for ourselves. We exist for others. And may we look beyond the walls of this building, and may we look to serve and minister to unbelievers. Is Robin here, Pastor Rob? You guys have been doing some ministry. I don't know, did you do that this weekend where you're going out? One of the things that Pastor Rob's doing, I think John Schoenwetter started that. And that's where they're going out in the community and they're finding needs. They're finding people who, because of sickness or because of, you know, health problems or issues, or money-wise, they're not able to, you know, mow their grass, or they're not able to take care of things, and the city is citing them. And what happens is we've kind of worked with the city now to where we get their names and we go and we do work for them, whether it's clearing out, you know, dead bushes or whatever. And we'll have teenagers and people from our church go and serve. Isn't that what it's all about? You know, just go and serve and minister. Amen. That's a blessing. Rob, I really appreciate you doing that and heading that up. And John, thank you. Where's John, for your heart in that? That was a great idea. That was John's idea. And that was a great idea. And you know how John got that idea? Because somebody ministered, didn't they, to you when Jeff was going through his cancer. And you know, that is what it's all about. May we look beyond the walls of this building and look to serve and minister to unbelievers, demonstrating to them the love of Christ. Now, I want to remind you of something tonight, and I want you to remember that it is not the lost people's responsibility to seek out this building. It's our responsibility to seek the lost. I just want to remind you of that. It's not their job to seek us out. It's our job to seek them out. Jesus talked about compel them to come in. May this community know that Crossroads is a friend of sinners. And I want to encourage you, you know, bring people to church. Invite them. A lot of people are just looking for an invitation. They've been thinking about seeking God, or they've been thinking about going to church, and they don't know where to go. Have you ever tried looking in the phone book under churches? You'll leave confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Amen? You start reading all this, and there's this denomination, and then there's this one, and then, wow, under this denomination, there's 400. And then, you know, and then it's like, woo, your head's spinning. And they're just looking for somebody to say, hey, I love my church. Will you come Sunday? I want you to come. Sit with me. You can sit with us. You know, they're just looking for somebody to say, man, I love my church, and I want you to come with me. And you know, sometimes we pray and we say, Lord, I just pray souls will be saved Sunday in church. You know what? You got to put some feet to your prayers. Because you know what? If everyone in the church is saved, all right, and I'm preaching, can anybody get saved? That's not a trick question, all right? I guess you could get saved again. No, that's not doctrinal, is it? All right, you can't get saved again. We don't believe in that, do we? We believe that once you're saved, you're saved. Amen? So if everybody's saved in the church and I'm preaching away and I'm preaching the gospel, can anybody get saved? No. So it doesn't matter how much you pray, okay? You can pray until you're blue in the face. If there isn't any lost people here, there ain't going to be anybody saved. All right? So, it's real simple. All right? If people are going to be saved, either A, you're going to lead them to Christ at work, or over the back fence of your house, or on the front porch of your house, or in the grocery store, or out in the parking lot somewhere, you're going to lead them to Christ and bring them to church. Or you're going to invite them to church and they're going to come and they're going to hear the gospel maybe several times, but then eventually make a decision for Christ. That's how it works, folks. All right. Now, in 2013, we got in-town cards, you know, the guest cards. And out of at 318 in-town cards that were turned in from people that, you know, live in town. And they came and they visited. Out of 318, 33 were put on there that they came because of Walk Through Bethlehem. So 10%, a little over 10%, came because of Walk Through Bethlehem. 33 families came and visited. 32 families said the sign out front is why they came. 36 said they saw us on the web and came. 7 saw a phone book, a paper phone book. I guess they still have those, huh? All right. So 7 saw us in a phone book. I still like phone books, by the way. But anyway, if I ever need a phone number, I still go to the phone book. I'm one of those weird guys. So 7 said phone book. 21 put other. You know, other. They came here for some other reason. People put everything from you know, the playground out front to different things, okay? There were 52 that put nothing, but you ready for this? Personal invite, 137 families. 137 cards said they came because somebody invited them. 137. Even out-of-town care cards. Out of 187 out-of-town care cards, 18 walked through Bethlehem, 5 were the sign, 34 the web, 9 the phone book, 84 personal invite. I've had people come to the hospitality room and tell me, I say, how did you hear about the church? They're from out of town. Somebody invited me. Somebody invited you. Yeah, I'm staying at a condo or staying here, and I met somebody, and they said they went to your church, and they invited me, and that's why I'm here. Wow. Do y'all think that, personal invite works? It does, doesn't it? Walk through Bethlehem, Shannon, don't you think personal invite, huh? Every time I pull the people in here at Walk Through Bethlehem, the auditorium's packed. You know, people are waiting to get into the city. How many of you saw us a flyer? And you know, we'll have quite a few hands. And how many of you saw the sign out front? We'll have a few more hands. How many of you heard us on the radio? 3 people. Literally. 1, 2, 3 people. How many of you came because somebody invited you? Just a sea of hands go up. You know, over 80% will say, I came because somebody told me about it. Somebody invited me. That's why I'm here. You see, we've got to be a friend of sinners. A friend of sinners. And that's the key, folks. Is you know, we got some great gospel tracks back there. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. We've got some gospel tracks we've produced in-house, and they're tremendous tracks. They're sharp, they're clear, they're great. And they got our church name on there and the service times, and they're back there. They're free. You can take them and invite people to church. Say, hey, there's a lot of bad news right now. Let me give you some good news. Give them a gospel tract. Say, hey, I love my church. Why don't you come and visit? Do you have a church? You know, and invite people. Invite your neighbors. Invite people. Invite folks on the ball team. Invite people. It's powerful. It really is. It's a powerful thing. The church at Antioch was a great church, and they were thriving. And the reason why that church at Antioch was thriving is because the people were a friend of sinners. They had a heart. It didn't matter what your nationality was, your background, your culture. Man, they just reached out to everybody. And that's what I want for Crossroads. I want us to be a church, and I think we do a good job, but I think it's very easy to get comfortable. And that's why we need reminders like this. We need reminders that, hey, you know what? Life groups are great, and church fellowships are great, and church dinners are great, and I'm all for all that. You know, Bible classes are great, and that's wonderful. But there's more to it than just going and continually learning and taking in more info. There is a purpose behind that. The purpose behind you learning and growing and changing is so you can have an impact on other people for Jesus Christ. You see, it's you can't just take in. You got to give out. and you got to share. And I want to encourage you to really pray about that, think about that. And this week, I want you to think of this phrase this week. I want it to be on your mind. Jesus was a friend of sinners. And I want you to think about that. Jesus was a friend of sinners. And when you see someone that, you know, maybe they're cursing and swearing, instead of going, "Well, I just can't believe they're doing that." You know what? Instead, why don't you say, "You know what? I know that person needs Jesus Christ. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to invite them to church. They need the Lord." And, you know, it just changes your whole perspective when you think about Jesus was a friend of sinners. He was a friend of sinners. He sat down in that old tax collector's house and had a bunch of other tax collectors and sinners and people that with bad reputations, and they all sat down there in Matthew's house with Jesus Christ. And he said, and the Pharisees said, "We just can't believe he's doing that." And Jesus said, "You know what? People that are healthy don't need a doctor." And he said, "I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance." And you know what, church? We need never forget the pit that Christ lifted us out of. And if it weren't for the grace of God, we'd still be in that pit, wouldn't we? And so therefore, if we go by a pit and somebody's in it, instead of being like the Levite and priests and walking around thinking, "Well, they got what was coming to them. Well, that's what you get." Instead of having that attitude, you know what? Let's have the attitude of, "Hey, take my hand. Let me lift you out of that pit. Let me tell you about Jesus." You know, that needs to be the attitude.